got your Bibles, I want you to turn to Nehemiah chapter number 1. Be sure you open your Bibles today, and you'll need to follow me. And I'm going to say this. It'd probably be better having a Bible than an iPhone, because I'm going to jump around a little bit. Unless you can do that in your thanks. I know some people do that. I can't come to it, okay? Y'all technical, you geeks, I can't come to it. I got to read this book like this. And I ain't against you doing it. Some of y'all do it good. Do it. I don't care. But I hope it's King James. And I'll tell you what. I'm going to stay in Nehemiah, so to make it a little easier for you. Nehemiah chapter number 1. I'm going to read several verses, make some comments as I go, and come and give you a title. And I'm going to preach Nehemiah a way that I've never preached Nehemiah. I've never preached this sermon, just this first time out. I'm rolling it out on you. And it's on my heart today. There's a lot of folks today, your life's a mess. It's a mess. Whether you done the mess, or however the mess got there, your life's a mess. And look at Nehemiah, you'll find a similar situation. Nehemiah chapter 1 and verse number 3. Are you there? And they said unto me, the remnant that are left of the captivity there in the providence are in great affliction and reproach. The wall of Jerusalem also is broken down, and all the gates thereof are burned with fire. Turn to chapter 2 and verse 17. Chapter 2 and verse 17. Keep that thought in mind. Remember, 70 years earlier, Nebuchadnezzar came in and destroyed the city, destroyed the walls, and all it is now is rubbish. Let's look at verse 17. Then I, chapter 2, then said I unto them, ye see the distress that we are in, how Jerusalem lieth waste, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. Come and let us build up the wall of Jerusalem, that we be no more a reproach. Totally destroyed. For every brick turned upside down. Burnt with fire. Look at chapter 4 and verse number 2. Stay with me. And he spake before his brethren and the army of Samaria and said, what do these feeble Jews? Will they fortify themselves? Will they sacrifice? Will they make an end in a day? Will they revive the stones out of the heaps of the rubbish which are burned? That's the enemy speaking right there. Then, by the way, that's what the devil will say about every one of you. He'll say, you made a mess now. You're over. Too much rubbish. Too much baggage. Too much going on. Ain't no hope for you. Yeah, that's what he says. And then look in verse numbers 10 of chapter 4. Stay there. And Judah said, the strength of the bearers of burdens is decayed, and there is much rubbish, so that we are not able to build the wall. Look at chapter 6 and verse number 15. And get ready to shout. So the wall was finished in the 20th and 5th day of the month of Elul in 52 days. Somebody shout right there. You're talking about, I've been to Jerusalem. The wall all the way around that city was destroyed. There ain't no way. Jerusalem government, God knows our government couldn't build a wall back in 52 days. But those people done it all under the leadership of Nehemiah. Amen. Here's what I'm going to preach today. Would you agree with me that debris is a type of our debris that we have in our life? Would you agree with me that Jerusalem was in a mess? And some of you this morning are in a mess inside and outside. Our lives are laying in rubbish. You think you'll never get help? I'll tell you this. You get the right one involved, you'll get help. I'm about ready to get shouting right there. Who was the right one? Nehemiah. And I never preached this before like this. Nehemiah was not a perfect type of Christ, such as Joseph and maybe some of the others. But I'll show you he was a type of Christ. Maybe not in a perfect sense, but I'll give you some reasons to think that with him. Stay with that thought. Because here's what I'm preaching on. A miracle for your mess. A miracle for your mess. Nehemiah's name meant consolation or comforter. When the Lord paid the price and went back to the heaven, guess what he said? A comforter. Nehemiah had a lifted up position of honor. I want you to know, my Savior, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, when he came down here, he left a position of honor. He was honored. He is the King of Kings. By the way, one day every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Nehemiah was a cupbearer. You know what the cupbearer done? He went and ate and tasted the food for the king. Put his life on the line for the king. If it was poison, he died. Not the king. Jesus said in the Garden of Gethsemane, Lord, let this cup pass from me. His death was a picture of the cup of the New Testament. When we take the communion, that cup is a picture of what he done at Calvary. When Nehemiah got started working on the wall, it was marked by mockery by three men in particular, Sanballat, Tobiah, and Geshem. By the way, the Lord Jesus, it says in John, they hated him without a cause. No wonder Pilate put over his cross, I find no fault in him. Whew, I'm about getting ready to preach here in a minute. Then he labored with the people. Boy, I like this right here. I'm about ready to take a jet and go on. He labored with the people. He said, upon this rock I build my church. And it wasn't built on Peter. And Peter was not the first pope. You said, now, Preacher Smith, that's what some of the people say. Well, I can prove that. I don't take a rocket science. You know the popes, ain't none of them married. So how could Peter be the first pope and have a mother-in-law? And you're an idiot if you have a mother-in-law and ain't got no wife. Somebody help me. But he come down and started building that church. By the way, I believe the church started before Pentecost, but y'all can go ahead and argue if you want to. He labored with the people. He established 12 apostles who are the corner, the foundation of that church, and him being the chief cornerstone. I'm about to get happy. And he succeeded in his plan. By the way, verse 15 said they done it in 52 days. Well, my Lord done it in 3 days and 3 nights. He completed the plan of salvation. And I'll be honest with you, because just things hit me when they need to hit me. I've read Nehemiah 25 times, but I never realized until I really looked at it clearly. Do you know Nehemiah left them for a little while? Read chapter 12, chapter 13. He left a little while, then they come up, start become a mess again. And then it came back. Guess what? Jesus has left for a little while. But he's coming back. And by the looks of things, it ain't going to be long. Somebody help me right there. Now, you say, Preacher Smith, how can I get a miracle for my mess? Well, I'll give you three things and we'll go. First of all, in chapter 1 and verse 3, I noticed Nehemiah's notification. The walls all tore down. Go tell the comforter. Go tell the son of consolation. Go tell the one that can make a difference. What happened is he was notified. I want you to know, before God hung a sun or a moon or a star, God notified his son that you're going to go and die for a bride. And there's going to be a bride, and one of them's name's going to be John Smith. Woo! And if you're saved, put your name in there, because that's the purpose in which he died for his bride. Well, in his notification, Nehemiah prayed a prayer of intercession. You said, well, he did in verse 3, and he started praying in verse 4 and on down. Can I tell you, somebody asked me, so, well, did Jesus pray for me? I want y'all to know something. Our Father which art in heaven is not the Lord's Prayer. It's a model prayer to model your prayers all over. But that's not the Lord's Prayer. Lord's Prayer found down there in John 17. See, I'll just go out and read it. Jesus made an intercessory prayer for me and you. And by the way, some of y'all ought to just start thinking right now. If he's interceding for you right now and praying for you, don't you think he can bring a miracle to your mess? By the way, he said in his prayer, all of them I've kept. They ain't but one of them lost, and that's the son of perdition, that the scripture be fulfilled. And that was Judas Iscariot. He was a son of perdition then, and he's the son of perdition now. There ain't none other. That brings me to the other preaching. I won't blubber that right now. But to think about it. Nehemiah got down and prayed for the people. But I want you to know, Jesus Christ prayed in the garden for you, or prayed there in John 17 for you. And that means he's got you. He's got your back. He's going to take care of your rubbish. All the things the devil's tore down. All your bad decisions. All the filth you got in your life. I got a God that's got a miracle. Not only a prayer of intercession in verse 4, but also a plan of restoration. Look in verse 12. Look at that quickly in chapter 2. Oh, I like this. I'm about ready to leap out of here right now. Look here. I rose up in the night, I and some few men with me, neither told I any man what God had put in my heart to do at Jerusalem. Neither was there any beast with me, save the beast that I rode upon. You say, well, that's not the type of Christ. Are you out of your mind? Jesus got up in that night of Gethsemane and prayed. Not thy will, but thy will be done. And let this cup not pass from me. But he came on this earth for one reason. That's to die. Somebody help me right there. And you know what Jesus did? He got up that night. Yeah, he did. And then he got on a colt. Somebody help me. Oh, yeah, just like Nehemiah rode a beast. Well, somebody help me. He rode a beast. Jesus rode a colt in Jerusalem. And they're shouting about him at first. And then they crucified him by the end of the week. But I want you to tell him, on the third day he rose. He's alive. That's his plan. Then number three, his promise of completion. Look at chapter 2 and verse 20. Chapter 2 and verse 20 of Nehemiah. Are you there? Say amen. The Bible said, then answered I them and said unto them, the God of heaven, he will prosper us. Therefore we his servants will arise and build. But ye have no portion or right nor memorial in Jerusalem. He said, we're going to get this done. I'm glad on Calvary's cross, Jesus said these immortal words. It is finished. Teliase, finished. Finished. The way of salvation has been finished. I'm going to heaven, but not because of my way. The ways of man are destruction. I'm going to heaven because Jesus finished it for you and me.
Amen.
Y'all with me? Number two. I am really just starting to feel some happy bugs. Number two, look at Nehemiah 2:17. And then I want you to notice Nehemiah's participation. Not only his notification, but his participation. Look what it said. Then said I unto them, ye see the distress that we are in, how Jerusalem lies waste, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. Come and let us build the wall of Jerusalem that we be no more a reproach. Well, glory. Nehemiah was not in a mess. He was in the king's palace. I want y'all to know something. Jesus was not in a mess. He was in the heaven's glories. Somebody help me right there. Till Nehemiah decided he was going to get in the mess before the foundations of the world. God said to his son, you see what humanity's going to do? They're going to reject me. They're going to fall into sin and the devil's going to deceive them. But Jesus, you're going to come. And you're going to have to leave your glory behind. And you've got to come and take upon yourself the form of a servant. And you've got to participate in their mess. You've got to take your sin. Though you had no part of their mess, you didn't have no sin. For 33 and a half years, he had no sin. Somebody help me preach. Glory to God. Let me give you four things under that. This. Aren't you glad that Jesus participated in your life? These two young ladies getting baptized today is because they got saved and he participated in their life. Those 17 that got baptized last Sunday night's because Jesus said, I want to be a part of their mess. I ain't got a mess, but I'll take their mess so I can do a miracle for their mess. Look at verse 17 again. Of chapter 2, he saw their feeling need of healing, emotionally destroyed. He was touched with the feelings of our infirmities, yet without sin. As some of you here, you're emotionally drained. Your life's in a heap. It's rubbish. You've tried everything you could try to pull yourself out. And the more you try to pull, the farther in the mess you get. But can I tell you, I've got a loving, wonderful, gracious, mighty Savior that participated and came and found what you feel. And then verse 17 also said the families needed hope. I look at this crazy world and I worry about my kids. I worry about my grandbaby. I worry about your kids. I worry about your grandbabies. I worry about what's going on with the family. There's a lot of families, maybe in the church today, you've been thinking divorce. You've been thinking, I'm done with this relationship. But I want you to know those families need hope. And I've got somebody who will participate in your hope and give you hope where there's no hope. And their future needed help. You look at verse 17. It said they're burned. And we're no more but just a reproach. Could you see it? Look at it. Oh, y'all look at it. Look down at that. If you've ever been to Jerusalem, you can really look at it, but you can look at it anyway. That wall goes all the way around that city. Just imagine it. All torn down. The wall that's over there right now is built on the original wall. It's all torn down. The eastern gate's right there. Actually, it's not the eastern gate. The eastern gate's right under that in an old gate when somebody fell down and there's a cemetery plot, a Muslim cemetery plot. And why the Muslims put a cemetery plot in the front of the eastern gate is that they wanted to block the Messiah because they thought a priest wouldn't touch a graveyard. Well, my priest is going to rip up their graveyard. Whoa! Somebody help me right there. I want you to know something. Our future needs help. Some of you said, I don't know what my future is going to be like. Give it to Jesus. You've been trying to do it yourself. You're about ready to blow up. Won't you give it to Jesus? And then his foes needed hushing. Old Sam Ballot and Geshem. By the way, I wasn't told this on January 31st. 1973, I told everything was lovely. I got amazing grace, how sweet the Lord. Nobody told me I'd ever have an enemy and be a Christian. But hear me. You actually got one enemy if you're a Christian. He's the devil. And all those peoples that he used, they just his agents, but they ain't really the real problem. That's why I can forgive people that done me wrong. Hey, and they've been some nice slaves. I got folks just soon let me go ahead and throw some gasoline and put a match out. That's just the way human beings are. They don't get their way. They pout. They never shout. And then they'll get real ruthless and they'll do anything to bring somebody else down to make themselves look good. He had three of those fellas in his life. But you know what happened? You better watch out. I don't think you want to miss with Nehemiah. I don't think you want to miss with God's anointing. Because I'm going to tell you one day, and I'm going to be, it ain't going to be me. I don't believe in revenge. I believe in forgiveness. But I'm going to tell you what, I got a God's going to hush every mouth. Amen. 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 Lastly. Ain't this good? Nehemiah's compassion. He never even ever said he loved them. He just showed them he loved them. Jesus told us he loved us, but he also showed us he loved us. Now I want you to notice under his compassion, see the distance he traveled. On that beast, y'all get this, on that beast, you know how far Nehemiah traveled? To get over there to Jerusalem? 1,000 miles. On a beast. You know where Jesus came from? He came from beyond this world. In the heavenly world. Had traveled that great distance. They say it's billions of light years. It didn't take him but a moment. Holy Ghost put him inside of a virgin. And then also Nehemiah, the death he tempted. You know what they were going to do to Nehemiah? They were going to kill him. They were out after him. They did conspiracies. By the way, the devil's after all of us. He wants us ruined. He wants us upside down. But our Nehemiah came and tempted death and took death upon him. And then the duty he traded. Nehemiah was a cupbearer. Can you imagine? Stop a minute. I don't know exactly what all heaven's going to be like. Just think about heaven. How many of y'all believe there's going to be a street of gold? That's transparent gold. Mansions. Angels. Just all the glory of God. No sin. A river of life. A tree that bears fruit every month. 12 different types of fruit every month. You're going to be there. But listen. He left there for you. He traded heavenly duty for the humiliation of the flesh. Then lastly, look back at Nehemiah 1 and 6, and I'm done. Let thine ear now be attentive and thy eyes open, that thou mayest hear the prayer of thy servant, which I pray before thee now day and night for the children of Israel, thy servants, and confess the sins of the children of Israel, which we have sinned against thee, both I and my father's house have sinned. And the disgrace he took. Listen to me. He had no sin. He took Hitler's sin. He took Saddam Hussein's sin. He took Jeffrey Dahmer's sin. Charles Manson's sin. Every sinner in this world. Your sin. He took your disgrace. He took your place. Take your coat off a minute, preacher. I'll give it right back to you. Stand up. He was stripped. He was stripped. His coat was taken from him. But here's what he done. His coat was righteousness. And then when you got saved, I traded that old coat for a new coat.
Amen.
I want you to know something. When I got saved, I got the righteousness of God applied to me. Listen to me. You want to go to heaven? It's through Christ. The righteousness of God will be given to you. He took your disgrace that you can experience grace. Bow your heads with me.